Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, probably Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, and my very special guest in today's show, Marcus Mosher, the host of Locked On Cowboys. Marcus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Evan. How are you doing today?
Doing great, and I appreciate coming on short notice. Appreciate that as well. And I'm glad to have you on because I enjoy reading your draft stuff. You dive really deep into that. And you're currently creating your big board, and we're going to talk mostly about some prospects who make sense for the Colts, but also just some prospects in general who you like, Marcus. And let's start off with quarterbacks because it's been an interesting debate amongst Colts fans so far. And I want to get your thoughts on this is if you were in the Colts position, would you rather move up and give up assets for a guy like Jordan Love who would probably go in the early to mid-20s, I assume, or would you rather wait until the second or third round for a guy like Jalen Hurts?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm not the biggest Jordan Love fan. I know his 2018 tape was better than 2019. But I just ask myself, how many of these, you know, guys that go after this top 15 truly end up working out? The guys like Love that are the athletic, the big arm quarterbacks that need to improve the accuracy, maybe in the ball security, it just doesn't seem like it works out that much. Now, you mentioned Hurts. That's a guy that I like quite a bit in the second or third round. I also think, Jacob Eason makes some sense in the second round. If, you know, that's somebody who – you sit him behind Phillip Rivers for a year or two. I think if I was the Colts, I would probably spend that 34 pick, you know, either grabbing another receiver or upgrading the defensive line or the cornerback room, and then see what falls at pick 44 or 75. Maybe Hurts is available at 75, and that's at least a shot in the dark, you know. But I'm just not a big fan of these quarterbacks after the top two.
Yeah, definitely understandable there. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, really those are the locks. And after that, you have a lot of questions for even guys like Justin Herbert and Jordan Love. And let me ask you that, Marcus, like why are you lower? Because I know some Colts fans are really big on Jordan Love and just his potential. But just from the opposite standpoint, why are you lower than Jordan Love? And why do you think there's a case that he might not be able to reach his full ceiling?
Yeah, so first of all, the turnovers are obviously a concern, right? He led the nation in interceptions last year. That's always going to be a problem. But one of the stats that I really pay attention a lot to is how well a quarterback performs on third down. If you can't be a consistently good passer in college on third downs, you're probably not going to do it in the NFL. So one of the stats I like to look at is third down yards per attempt. If you look at the history of the NFL, almost all of the top quarterbacks hit at least 8 yards per attempt on third down. You're looking at, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers and so on and so forth. Love comes in below that. He's at 7.2 playing in the Mountain West. He's only completing 54% of his passes on third downs, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So, when the game gets the tightest, it seems like Love's play drops off quite a bit. I know that arm is fantastic and the mobility is nice, but when it's pressure situations, I just don't trust him. And at that point in the draft, even, as late as the 34th pick, I just feel like it's too rich.
And with Jalen Hurts, going to the opposite spectrum here, because it sounds like you're more of the idea of Jalen Hurts. And looking at his numbers here, like you mentioned, his third down rate is really good. Like his yards per attempt definitely up there. And up near, I believe, 10-plus yards there. And that just shows how explosive he could be in the right system. His leadership qualities are there. His mobility is there. He's kind of a guy, Chris Ballard and the Colts love character guys. They love guys who really can control a room and maybe a leader in the future. And that Jalen Hurts checks a lot of those boxes, Marcus. And the only thing I'm worried about is just his quarterback potential. What do you think his ceiling is in the NFL?
That's a tough one. Because if you look at the metrics, the passing numbers, the athleticism, and you mentioned the character, there's a lot to love about Jalen Hurts. But there are some concerns when you look at, maybe just the overall accuracy, sometimes how long he holds onto the ball. But could he be a David Garrard type of quarterback in the NFL, where he has a couple good years where it's, Pro Bowl level, if you build a solid team around him, can he get you to the playoffs? Yeah, I think that's possible. I think it's probably more likely he ends up on the Tyrod Taylor, spectrum of quarterback, a low end starter, high end backup, can get you through some games if you need him to, but probably not a franchise altering quarterback. So again, I like him quite a bit. I feel much better about taking him in the third round compared to even Jordan Love in the second round. It does feel like that's a Chris Ballard pick at, potentially 75.
How do you group these day two quarterbacks, so to say, Marcus? Let's toss out Jordan Love and Justin Herbert, assuming they go round one. how do you cluster guys like Jalen Hurts, Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason? There's like three or four guys here in this round two, round three cluster that could be intriguing options.
Yeah, so I cheated a little bit on my on my draft board. I have Jalen Hurts and Jacob Eason touching, and it might just depend on your scheme, right? If you're a team that you know plays outdoors and you need a strong arm quarterback to throw the ball down the field, that's Eason. But if you play in a dome like the Colts do, and you have a good offensive line, and you can protect them, and you can lean on a defense, I probably would go Jalen Hurts. But those are my two. I also think Jake Fromm needs to be mentioned because if you're playing in a West Coast offense where the ball's getting out quick and on time and on rhythm, I think he makes some sense in day two. But he's after those top two guys for me.
From the Colts standpoint, Marcus, doesn't it feel like obviously there's no quarterback under contract through the 2021 season? Philip Rivers is a one-year deal. Jacoby Brissett's under in the final year of his contract. He's the back quarterback. But it feels like the Colts are in a situation where if they want to draft a guy, let's say Jalen Hurts or Jacob Eason in round two, round three, they have a good situation for them where they could develop behind Rivers for a year or two. They have the offensive line in place. They can still add more playmakers in the draft next year. So it feels like the Colts, more than other teams in this year's draft, Marcus, have a really good opportunity for a quarterback to develop.
Yeah, and I would agree. You know, there's also the situation where, you know, they have one of the best offensive lines in the league. So if you're going to take a player like a Jacob Eason, who might need some time to develop, and he's going to need a good pocket around him because he's not a fantastic athlete, Colts are a perfect situation for him. They also have receivers that you like. T.Y. Hilton can make plays down the field. So can Paris Campbell with his speed. So, yeah, I do agree. I think the Colts are one of the top two or three situations for quarterbacks, you know, that aren't going to be drafted in the first round. So, you know, I would think, you know, a guy like Eason or Hurts, they would both love to go to the Colts situation because they know they're not going to be forced into action. They're going to have time to sit there, develop, and learn a scheme. I don't think Frank Wright's going anywhere, so you don't have to worry about some changing in the coaching staff. So, yeah, I agree. I think the Colts are set up well to take a quarterback here sometime on day two.
One last quarterback question I have for you, Mark. So we're going to wide receivers here. Is I don't know if you had a chance to look at some day three guys like an Anthony Gordon or a James Moore. Sure. But what are your thoughts on those two guys? Because they've been linked to the Colts a little bit.
Yeah, of the two, I think I like Anthony Gordon better. The accuracy in the short to intermediate part of the field is really fun. You know, he basically had two seasons worth of production in one year at Washington State, you know, just throwing the ball all over the place. I think he's a better athlete than what people give him credit for. But yeah, that's somebody you can get in the fourth or fifth round and kind of stash him behind Rivers and Brissett. I think there's a chance he develops into a, you know, a high-end backup and maybe even a low-end starter for a day three pick. Another guy that I'll just throw out really quickly, Cole McDonald from Hawaii. Not the most, he's a little bit dysfunctional sometimes in the way that he plays, but he's a great athlete. The touch is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to go watch his film at Hawaii, man, it's a roller coaster of emotions. It's a lot of fun. Clearly needs a lot of time to develop, but the tools are there. So I kind of like McDonald as a, you know, 6th, 7th UDFA project for the Colts.
Yeah, we definitely ran the gamut there as far as day two, day three options for the Colts. And let's pivot over to wide receivers here, Marcus, because I actually saw your last tweet about Denzel Mims, and the Colts were listed as one of the teams that have shown the most interest in him so far. And you have him rated 18th on your board so far. And let me ask you, how would you compare Denzel Mims to a guy like T. Higgins, both guys who would fill that big body role for the Colts?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty significant gap between Mims and Higgins. I have Higgins as somebody who, you know, to me, that's a fringe day two guy. Like he might even end up in day three for me because, you know, running the 1.66 10-yard split, that's like historically bad for a receiver, a 31-inch vertical at his pro day. You know, you just, at that point, you're looking at like, hopefully he can be Devin Funches in the NFL. Like that's the ceiling. Or Mims is the opposite, right? Mims is a special, special athlete at 4.39. Does he need to improve on his hands? Yeah. Can the route running improve? Of course. But that's somebody who I think has, you know, Keenan Allen ability, but with way more speed and way more athleticism. So, you know, if he's able to fall to the top of the second round, I think that'd be a home run pick for the Colts.
How do you like that fit, Marcus, between, like, let's say Denzel Mims on one side, T.Y. Hilton on the other, and then you have Paris Campbell in the slot there?
Oh, that makes so much sense, right? You have Hilton doing your stuff down the field. Campbell, despite, you know, having the elite speed, is really more of an underneath option, or at least that's what he was at Ohio State, running a lot of the drags and slant routes. And then you can have Mims playing on the outside, being your more physical, maybe your more athletic guy that can run the slants, the comebacks. those type of stuff. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now that's a receiving core that starts to be, you know, one of the top three or four in the entire NFL.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun to get Mims on board. I just wonder at this point, is he going to slip the round to Marcus
Bisbee? Man, I don't know. That seems – it seems not very likely, right? It just kind of feels like his range is probably somewhere between, what, 21 and 27, 28?
Yeah, I really can't see him slipping past Minnesota at this point, honestly. Like, he's such a freak athlete and such a good talent. He really killed the post-workouts as far as combine, no pro days, but he really showed during the combine and on tape as well just how much of a freak athlete he is, and I think he's going to benefit from that as well.
I would agree.
Another player on this list I want to hit on with you is Laviska Shenault, Marcus, because he is a very polarizing prospect. If you love him or you hate him, what's your thoughts on him? Because it seems like he's a guy now I feel pretty confident he's going to be there on day two.
Yeah, I think he's going to be there as well. You know, going into the 2019 season, Shenault was somebody who was drawing comparisons to like Julio Jones or Dez Bryant because of the size and speed. You know, he got hampered with some injuries over the year, had the groin injury this year that made him, you know, pull up lame at the combine. He's a tough one because I don't think he is as complete of a receiver right now as he needs to be. But if you're looking for somebody to fill that like Deebo Samuel type of role in an offense, you know, get him on the move. You can hand the ball off to him four or five times a game on jet sweeps or even out of shotgun. I think he fits, but I'm not necessarily sure if he's the best fit in the Colts offense because, you know, again, they already have Paris Campbell who does a lot of the same things underneath. I'm going to actually bring up another name. I like Justin Jefferson quite a bit for the Colts. Not my favorite receiver in this class because I think his upside may be capped as being a high-end number two. But when you already have T.Y. Hilton on the roster, I think Jefferson makes a lot of sense because he can play in the slot. He's got a lot of speed. He can work well underneath and in zones. To me, that's the guy I would be targeting for Indianapolis at 34 if he's available. I know he's getting some more first-round buzz, but to me, he makes way more sense than a Michael Pittman or a Laviska Shenault.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because I think he'd make an awful lot of sense, Jefferson, if he is there at 34, but you brought up Michael Pittman. He's one of the guys, honestly, Marcus, I'm falling in love with the more I watch him because a big body, never drops passes. He knows how to run routes. He's not really explosive, so to say, but he just knows how to get open. I feel like he's a guy, especially a former team captain, high character. He's a guy for me. If he's there at 44 or 75 and the Colts haven't taken a wideout just yet, I feel like he might be their guy.
Yeah, every time I go back and watch Michael Pittman's tape, I end up moving him further and further up my board. I know a couple months ago he was like in the fringe day two spot. I've got him at 42 right now, and that might even be too low. I might boost him up ahead of guys like Brandon Ayuk and Laviska Shenault because, man, this guy, all he does is make plays down the field. And as you saw throughout the season at USC, he got better and better every game. He finished his college career the last three games of the season with at least 100 yards and a touchdown in all three of those contests. A big body guy that's physical, knows how to win at the catch point, a better athlete than gets credit for. You see a little bit of Alshon Jeffrey in his game. And again, pair that with T.Y. Hilton on the other side, who has a lot of speed, and you have Paris Campbell underneath. I think Pittman makes a lot of sense as well. You probably don't have to spend the 34th pick on him. It's possible he even falls to 75, but that's a good name for the Colts to look for.
This is an interesting either or for you, Marcus. I have two more wide out questions for you, just comparing guys head to head here. And the first one's a few more big body guys. Chase Claypool, you can call him a tight end or a wide out, just a versatile weapon. Or a guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones, who really started from the lack of quarterback play. We saw it last year and really throughout his career at Michigan. What's your thoughts on DPJ and Claypool, and how do you cluster those two guys?
All right, so you're making this one tough on me because these are two of the guys that I really like somewhere, you know, in the third round. I feel like despite the testing that Claypool is probably the safer pick here because of you know what he can do on the outside. He probably can transition to tight end if he needs to. He's a fantastic special teams player. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, to me, is a guy that I'm maybe worth, you know, maybe willing to gamble on in the second round because you see how smooth he is on the field. You see how fast he is. If you want to get an idea of what kind of player he is, go look at him at, just strictly as a punt returner. I think you'd get a draftable grade from a bunch of teams if he was only a punt returner in the NFL because I think that's how special he is in that area. The quarterback play was so awful at Michigan. You never really got to see his full potential on display there. But as you know, if you're drafting him to be a wide receiver three, hoping that he can develop into a high end wide receiver two in 2 or 3 years, I'm good with that. I'm a big fan of Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think that's somebody I'm willing to stick my neck out there for, even despite the lack of production at Michigan.
Yeah, definitely an athletic freak. When you look at the combine numbers on mock draftable, he really maxed out almost every box there. But one more wideout question I have for you, Marks, before we dive into some defense for a little bit. And that's going to be another either or between guys like Jalen Reagor or Brandon Ayuk, both guys who can create after the catch. They're more speedsters, but who would you rank between Ayuk and Reagor? Because a person, I'd probably have Ayuk a little higher right now, but what about you?
Okay, so this is the first hot take of the pod. Are you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
I have Jalen Reagor as my 13th best player in this class.
Wow.
I have him ahead of guys like Henry Ruggs and Denzel Mims. I see a combination of like a Stephon Diggs with maybe a little bit of dash of Percy Harvin in Jalen Reagor's game. At TCU, they lined him up outside and basically just asked him to run vertical routes over and over and over again. That's why the stats weren't as good as what they maybe should have been. Now, if you care about other metrics such as, you know, college dominator, market share, and breakout age, Reagor ranks at the top of almost all of those. I think he's one of these guys that's going to be a much better NFL player than what we saw in college. He's got a lot of speed. I actually talked to him not too long ago. He put on about 18 pounds to the combine. That was a mistake. He was running in the 4.3s, you know, prior to this offseason. He can play multiple roles. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. I think he's one of the best separators in the class. He needs to work on his hands a little bit, but he can absolutely attack the ball. He's one of the best jump ball receivers I've ever seen for a sub 6 foot receiver. I think there's at least a round difference between Reagor and Brandon Ayuk, if not more. I mean, that's somebody, if he's available at 34, that's a run up to the podium pick for me.
It seemed like to me, if you add in Reagor this offense with Campbell and Hilton, you might arguably be trying to have KC 2.0 at that point with how much speed you have on the field at that point.
Yeah, and that's kind of fun. Now, would somebody like Phillip Rivers be able to utilize that speed? I mean, his arm isn't quite as strong as it used to be, but he's still one of the better deep ball throwers in the league because of his, you know, anticipation and touch. But also, I think Hilton and Reagor are these guys too that can win underneath in the intermediate parts of the field where Rivers thrive. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that'd definitely be a lot of fun. And we can dive in now, Marcus, just a little bit, because you just talked about Phillip Rivers. I haven't had a chance to even ask in the pod yet. What was your thoughts on Phillip Rivers and the sign there? Because obviously it was rumored for a very long time, even back around New Year's. Like, it seemed like it was in the works for a while. Frank Reich gets his old quarterback in place. Nick Sirianni was also his former offensive coordinator in San Diego. How do you like the fit? Do you think he's a better upgrade, at least for 2020, over Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, so this still is in the works for a long time, as you mentioned. Nick Sirianni happens to be a friend of mine, lives close here up in northeast PA. So this is somebody who, you know, as soon as they knew he was going to become available, it made just a lot of sense. I don't think there's anything such as a bad one-year deal in the NFL. If Rivers is washed, you'll know it within the first couple of games, and then you can go right back to Brissett. It's no big deal, right? But if he turns out to be, you know, better than Brissett, or, you know, even if it's a slight upgrade, it's worth paying that amount of money because of the position. So I do think putting him in a, you know, in a dome with a great offensive line, with an improving defense, and maybe a ball control style offense, I do think that's going to help. He's certainly not the long-term answer, but can he help them, you know, maybe go from a, you know, 7-9, 8-8 team to 10-6. I think that's on the table for sure.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a lot more fun with him at quarterback, because it's going to be a lot more explosive play opportunities, because Rivers definitely takes a lot more chance than Brissett did. But let me ask you about defense here for a second too, Marcus. They added in DeForest Buckner via trade. They signed Xavier Rhodes. They added a few more depth pieces like TJ Carey and Sheldon Day just for the rotation of their defense. But it's in the Chris Bauer to add in the Phillip Rivers move. He's kind of going all in here, and you added an all-pro in DeForest Buckner. I think he's expecting this defense to take a big leap next year.
Yeah, I would agree. And they're hoping that a lot of these younger players that they've drafted over the last couple of years can continue to improve. Obviously, Arakia Sin, who they drafted in the second round last year, they're hoping he makes a leap. Bobby Okereke, I know they drafted, I believe that was last year as well. A lot of young talent on this defense, and they're hoping bringing in elite talent like a DeForest Buckner can kind of improve the entire defense. I have a feeling that's probably what they're going to do with their first two picks. Probably just throw those picks back at defense, Knowing the way that Chris Ballard drafts, I'm sure it'll probably be at least one secondary player. So I do think it's an improving defense. It's not quite a top five or maybe not even a top 10 unit yet, but they are on the, they're on their way.
Yeah, that's a good point there. They're really ascending their young roster still. I think their average defensive age is like 24 and a half, so definitely a lot more time to gel together. But let's talk about the cornerbacks for a second here, Marcus, because I think guys in that late first, early second range, let's say a guy like Jeff Gladney or Noah Igbinoghe or Trayvon Diggs, one of those three guys fall at 34. What do you do in that situation? Do you still go – do you go corner there or do you still go offense?
Yeah, so to me the value of this draft is going to be taking your corners, you know, late first round, early second round, and then waiting a bit at receiver. If the Colts want to wait to pick 75 to grab a receiver, I'm confident they can get a wide receiver two or wide receiver three, right? They're in a great situation, you know, already having a guy like T.Y. Hilton on the roster, having somebody like Paris Campbell, that they don't have to force a receiver pick. I think they can wait. There's a lot of guys at the top of the second round that I like. Probably my favorite of the group that you mentioned is Trayvon Diggs. Doesn't have the long speed. Probably more of a press man, press zone corner, going to win in the first 10 yards. But that's somebody who I think could learn a little bit from somebody like Xavier Rhodes, who kind of had a similar career path, right? Going to win, you know, off the line of scrimmage and with physicality. I don't think he's all that dissimilar from Rock Ya-Sin. But maybe the Colts want to get somebody who is a better slot option. Maybe Jeff Gladney is a better fit there as well. So I do think the corners that are going to be available to them at the top of the second round are going to make a ton of sense.
Two other corners I want to hit on with just a second with you, Marcus. Damon Arnett from Ohio State and Bryce Hall from Virginia. I know Bryce Hall's season ended early due to injury, but I feel like those are two intriguing guys if you want to wait till like 44 or 75 for a corner.
I struggle with Damon Arnett because this is an older cornerback prospect who had the opportunity to play, you know, across from Jeffrey Okuda. Did not run particularly well at the NFL Combine, ran in the four or five, six, short arms, pretty bad missed tackle rate. Somebody who also has some character concerns that need to be kind of figured out. That's probably somebody that I'm not willing to gamble on in the top 100. Bryce Hall, I like quite a bit. I like his tape. Now the injuries there are a concern as well. But neither of those guys to me feel like top 50 picks in this class. I kind of suspect though with, you know, how many teams needing cornerbacks, they're going to get pushed up a little bit. But those are the guys, if you want to take a corner, you know, in the second round, that's probably who you're going to have to draft. I'll add another one in there real quickly. Jalen Johnson from Utah. He's had three shoulder surgeries since high school, but I think his tape is fantastic. I think it's significantly better than Arnett or Bryce Hall. If he's sitting there at pick 44, that's an easy selection for me.
Going on to interior defensive line, I know I just added in a guy like DeForest Buckner, Marcus, but Denico Autry will be a free agent after this year. I know Chris Ballard wants to stack up some comp picks here soon, I imagine. What's your thoughts on some early day one, day two guys like a Ross Blacklock, Neville Gallimore, Justin Matabuke? How would you cluster those three guys out?
So this defensive line class is interesting because it's a pretty athletic class as a whole, but they're lacking a lot of production. And that actually starts right at the top too with – you know, Javon Kinlaw, you know, a freak athlete, pretty poor college production. Derek Brown, not a great athlete, average college production. Of the three that you mentioned, I think Justin Matabike probably makes the most sense. He had the best production of Blaylock, Gallimore, and Matabike. He's got a 4.83 speed, a little wild at times, needs to be calmed down a little bit, but that's probably the guy, considering what he did in the SEC, that I would gamble on there. Jordan Elliott, another one from Missouri, he's probably more of a third-round pick. I think he might be a one technique in the NFL, potentially could even play, you know, as a five technique and some 3-4 looks. I think he's interesting, but it's not my favorite interior defensive line class. Now, another name that I think, you know, could potentially be available at 34 is A.J. Epenesa, who really, really struggled at Iowa. Evan, how would you feel about that pick early in the second round for the Colts?
I wouldn't be the biggest fan of it, Marcus, because of the production, like you mentioned. Obviously, he had a little bit of edge, but the combine really scared me away from him after what happened. And it makes me think more and more. I don't know about you, but is he more of a three tech than an edge?
I think he's a five technique in the NFL.
Okay.
Right. I just don't think you can live with him as an edge rusher. Just put him face to face with the tackle. see if he can win with power that way. I mean, he can't, his length and his hands are so strong, but he's not going to win with speed. But if you have him, you know, if you have DeForest Buckner as one of your under tackles and you play, you know, if you play him as a, you know, maybe a left defensive end, you know, which we've seen the Colts do before. Matt Eberflus is somebody I'm really familiar with. We've seen him before play some of these bigger guys at left defensive end. I think he could probably survive there, but probably moving him inside in certain packages as well.
Last thing I have for you, Mark, appreciate the time as always. What would you do if you're in the Colts position here with their first three picks, 34, 44, 75, because we went through quarterback, cornerback, wide receiver, defense tackle. How would you go about what may be the best case scenario for this Colts team?
All right, let's do this, because I think this is fun. I think at 34, the best value is going to be corner, right? Trevon Diggs, I've mentioned him before. I think he makes a lot of sense. AJ Terrell, if he's there from Clemson, I think both those guys would fit really well with them. But, you know, compare them with Xavier Rhodes and Rocky Sin, and even TJ Carey, who they brought back. I think that's a passable secondary at the very least. At pick 44, you know, there's a lot of different options. The safeties are intriguing. Obviously, they drafted Kari Willis last year. They have Malik Hooker. But like an Antoine Winfield, you know, that's somebody who can play safety, can play corner. That's intriguing as well. I probably would double up there, you know, with, you know, the secondary guys. And then at pick 75, I love a lot of the receivers at that spot. My favorite of the potential options there, Bryan Edwards from South Carolina, broke his foot before the NFL Combine. This is somebody who super productive in the SEC, actually outshined Debo Samuel in a lot of games when they play together. I think he actually has wide receiver one potential, but because of the injury, because of the lack of production, you probably can get him after the top 50. I think he's a day one starter and a perfect fit in that Colts offense.
You guys can follow Marcus over on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. He's the host of Locked On Cowboys, also the managing editor of the Raiders Wire. So if you guys want Cowboys and Raiders news, Marcus is there for you. Marcus, appreciate the time.